Christian greetings once again. Again, I'm very pleased, happy to be here with you. It's been a blessing already to circulate among you, some of you, and learn to know some new people. Very much appreciated the devotional there in Psalm 51 and the thoughts about the Spirit, our Spirit. Created me renew the Spirit within me, I believe. However, that said that and had several thoughts about the Spirit there. Uphold me with thy free spirit. That goes along very well with what was on my heart this evening. I said last evening that I would start with a children's story. So that's what we'll do. Now, I didn't think to ask whether it would be appropriate to bring the children up here. Is that a good idea? 10, 12 years old and down, something like that. We'll come on up here to these benches up here. The children, have a little story for you. Very good. Proverbs 12:10. I'm going to read that first. It's a verse that I'm sure I heard somewhere along the line when I was a child. But nobody told this story when I was a child. So it hadn't happened yet. The story that happened to me. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Do you understand that verse? Probably not real much, but I'll tell you a story and hope you understand a little bit. But the righteous man is what it means. Is let's see, how many of you, your parents are farmers, you have some cattle or sheep at your house, maybe? Not many. Well, do you have dogs, any of you? Cats? Okay. We had chickens. I said last night that I enjoyed the chickens so much, and that was one of the difficult things for me in moving away, was we couldn't have chickens in the same way we did. But I did enjoy the chickens a lot, and I don't know why, but I grew up in a group of children that liked didn't think about what animals felt, you know, how they felt. And so we were sometimes mean to them. You ever been mean to animals? Well, this verse says not to be. It says, a righteous man regards life as peace. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. It means that when there's the wicked people, even when they're, you know what merciful means? Like sometimes in trouble, and you'd be merciful to it. That verse means that even when they're merciful, they're still cruel, you know. And some people are more that way. Just don't know what they're going to do next. You ever seen people that way? Don't know what they're going to do. Just cruel. Well, anyway, we did things when I was your age that I am ashamed of. In fact, some of them I'm not going to tell you because I will. Don't want to give you any ideas. We did things to horse flies. We did things to chickens that we shouldn't have done. Okay. We just didn't think about it. But I want you to think about these things, okay? But what we did, because I believe that when you grow up, now I wouldn't do these things anymore. In fact, I used to go deer hunting, and I enjoyed that a lot. And maybe some of these days I'll tell a deer hunting story. I don't know. But I enjoyed deer hunting a whole lot, and I still kind of do. I haven't gone for a while, but it's really hard for me to kill an animal anymore. It really is, and I some reason I think that's not a bad thing, man. It's, you know, I'm not joining any political, you know, one of those. But I just think it's good for us to be tender-hearted towards animals. Because I believe that that's good. Well, anyway, but I will tell you one little story. I was in the chicken house, and I don't know how old I was, but I remember this very well. Because we used to, I guess we had plenty of time on our hands, and we had these chicken houses where we had broilers and we raised up these chickens, and I don't know how they are today, but those chicken feeders, automatic feeders, they had an electric wire on top. You still have those around today? I don't know. They had an electric wire where it wasn't real, you know, it wasn't like the kind of electric wire that you have for cattle and goats, but it was a little lighter. It didn't hurt real much, but it hurt the chicken enough that it would sit on top of those feeders, you know? They'd jump off there and they'd have to jump off because it hurt a little bit. So we decided we wanted to have some fun with this electric wire. And so I took that electric wire, unhooked it from the feeder line, that wire that goes along the feeder line there, I don't know if anyone else was in there, I don't think there were at this particular time when I was doing this, having fun with these chickens. So what I'd do is lay that wire in the shavings there for the chickens, and put hook a kernel on the end of that wire. So you know the rest of the story. But the chickens, I just love to see these chickens get shocked inside their mouth. You know, and they come up there and they peck, 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 and then. But that's just part of the story. We had a big neighbor man, big and tall, and we liked him. He was a Christian. He was a member of the church. But he was also a little bit humorous. You know what humorous means? He enjoyed having a good time sometimes. So one time I was in here and I was doing this thing and I was having fun with these chickens. And this is probably the only reason I remember this. So it was a good lesson for me and I want to be a good lesson for you. But he just came walking in there and said, "What are you doing? You're being mean to these chickens." He said, "I'll show you how it feels." And I was little for my age, and he just grabbed me like this, and he was big, and he just pulled up my shirt and went like that. Right on me. Now, there's a good lesson on that that will bring, I don't know if you'll think of it, but this, the lesson, of course, is we need to be kind to our animals. I really believe that is a good thing for us as adults. To remember that too, I think so. But I didn't tell you the bad, worst things because I don't want to give you ideas. But you may go back to your seats. Thank you. Let's turn to song number 748. Again, and this song talks about freedom. I noticed that when Brother read, "Uphold me with thy free spirit," and I don't know what all was in mind there, but freedom is a gift that God desires that we have, as having been created in the image of our God. And he's given us all certain amounts of freedom, but at the forefront is freedom of choice as part of being created in his image. But anyways, so glorious freedom. There's so many messages in this song here, but freedom is one of the gifts of God. Do we have a pitch again here, Brother? By the way, let's say this first. Let's sing softly throughout the verses, and sing the chorus only after the last verse, okay? Just after the last verse. We'll pick up and speed up a little on the chorus. All right, let's have a pitch.
Mm-hmm. Once I was bound by sin. sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggle in vain. But I receive the glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Freedom from all freedom from vain and worldly ambition, freedom the soul that saddened my life, freedom from pride and self-sinful follies, freedom from love.
Let's turn to 1 Peter 2. The message title will be Why We Exist. 1 Peter 2. Now you could give, if we ask, won't do it. If I ask each one of you to put on a piece of paper, why we exist, why you think you exist, why you think we exist. It would be interesting, and I'm sure all of your answers would be right, or at least partially, you know. But I'd like to zero in on a specific answer that may go a little, for me anyways, it goes a little beyond some of the typical ones like, you know, why are we together tonight? Why have you gathered? Well, we want to be revived, right? We want to be revived, praise God. We want to experience a movement of this Holy Spirit within us and experience life. Maybe we've cooled off, or maybe we've never made a commitment. Those are good reasons. Or do we get together for fellowship or just to socialize? Not a bad thing, but is that why we exist? To have a good time one with another? Maybe we want to learn to be a better person. Maybe it's to help us get to heaven, or to help our neighbor get to heaven. You know, all of these may be some good reasons, but underneath them all is one, I believe, maybe you've got one under this one yet. Maybe you've got a better way to say it, but I want to read here 1 Peter 2. I know verse 5 says we're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And we know that those are praises, right? Hebrews does anyway. Spiritual sacrifices probably come in a number of ways. But it would, Hebrews 13, I believe it is, says that one of those spiritual sacrifices at least is the fruit of our lips. and praise to his name. But anyway, verse 9 is what I want to focus on here for a little bit. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, this is not our text for tonight, but it is a springboard. It's just puts in a nutshell what I would like to say, what I would like to share in a nutshell, and we want to expand from here to springboard. Let's look at some of these words: generation, priesthood, nation, people. Generation means offspring or tribe. The word is translated from means offspring or tribe. Not so much, 30 years, but rather and this generation right here is the offspring from the previous. But you're a chosen offspring, a chosen tribe. Priesthood just means those charged with handling holy things. Nation is just that, nation. As it is here in the King James Version, holy nation. Nation means nation, with national boundaries and so forth. People is more like a people group. So you get the idea. You get the idea, don't you? We're a chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And peculiar people, and peculiar there does not mean odd, as I understand it, but rather a special or a purchased people. Well, another way we could say this, all of these four could be synonyms to the word kingdom. This is a generation, priesthood, nation, and people. Kingdom. And that's the word we'll use this evening. Now let's look at the word praises. It means virtues. Now I know virtues are praises, but I do not understand why it's translated praises here, but it's always translated virtues elsewhere. Virtue means moral excellency. Moral excellency, I have it written here somewhere. I don't know, I think maybe later I have that defined. But anyways, I'm just going to say this, that we exist, as I'd like to think about it tonight, is that we exist to bring to our neighborhoods the virtues of the kingdom of God. And I'd like to be thinking about how we do that this evening, why we exist. Now I want to define kingdom just a little. We already did, but sometimes our thinking becomes fuzzy and mixes up the word kingdom with the church. And I know they overlap. Church can be used for the word kingdom, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think that kingdom usually is much broader in the Bible than the word church. And usually when the Bible speaks of a church, well, it's translated from ecclesia, and it's simply a body, local body that governs its members. And so we're born into the kingdom spiritually, and we join a church intentionally, I believe, usually. And I know there's overlap, but I want to say that because I think sometimes there is a... there's some fuzziness there that hinders our thinking about the two. So why do we exist? To bring to our neighborhood, the place where we dwell. And, whether it's Pennsylvania or California, this Pennsylvania almost seems like a foreign country to me, because I know that because whenever I'm walking around, I went and took a little walk this morning out to the chicken house, and I thought, oh, but I gotta be a little careful, and then I knew I was wrong. I was afraid that, if I get onto a farm, then when I go back through customs, I'm gonna have to declare that I was on a farm. I didn't want to do that. But anyways, nothing against you, but it just seems like I'm in a foreign country here in Pennsylvania. But so I'm saying our neighborhood, whether you're in Pennsylvania or whether you're in California or whether you're somewhere else. It's wherever we are and wherever we travel. That is also part of our neighborhood, but also the, the neighborhoods through which we travel. We exist, and God puts us together sometimes with people so that we can show forth the praises, the virtues of his kingdom, of him as a king. Virtues, oh, here I have it. Moral excellence such as modesty and purity. Okay. John the Baptist said, "The kingdom, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent, what? Take it by force. Take it by force." What happens? What God wants us to, now I'm kind of bringing up 2 points at one time here, so if you could follow me. What God desires is that the seed of truth through your life, you know, so that we the virtues of our King dwell within us so completely and so fully, so that when we bump into something or someone bumps into us, they spill out. We'll talk more about that later. But a seed, when they spill out, some seed is planted in a heart somewhere, needy ground, and it germinates, and it grows inside that individual's bosom until it grows and grows until their need, the time of birth comes, and when the time comes, we parents know how that is. When the time comes, it comes. We cannot keep it back. And I think of that when I think of the violent take it by force. We have violent and voluntary. Anyways, there's just a whole message there. We won't go into that. God has ordained that the church here at whether Providence or an Alturas Mennonite church, whoever it be, he has ordained that churches, through the churches, the different individual gifts form together. I mentioned last evening that none of us, we all excel in some of the gifts, but not one of us excels in all of them. And so God has ordained that so the different parts of the body come together into a cohesive body, so that all of them together can do much more than the sum of those parts. That's called synergy. Well, anyways, what virtues? Let's look at the virtues a bit. What virtues are they? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not... What virtues? Well, those are commandments, but I think, but I believe that the commandments come out of the virtues. And we need to pull them aside and look a little deeper and see what's there. I've got some questions to be able to do that as I think of the virtues that we have as individuals, and that God desires that we show forth individually, but more yet as a congregation, together. Three questions to bring into focus some of this. Anybody, either side, what does anyone know what the first recorded words of John the Baptist are in the New Testament? You can look. I think I'm right about this. I think so. See, I looked.
Was it "Behold the Lamb of God"?
I think that's in John, so it may have been before, but in our Bible. I mean, in Matthew, thank you for that. He went out and he started preaching. Repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe that's right. It's Matthew 3:2. Now, I'll be embarrassed if there's one ahead of that, but it's okay. I've been embarrassed before. Matthew 3:1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All right, so here we are, talking about the virtues of the kingdom of heaven. All right, it doesn't help if we don't repent. Well, that's a whole different story. There's just so much here. All right, now I've got three questions. The second one is, what are the first words of Jesus to the public? Now, I'm not talking about to his disciples, but the first words of Jesus in his preaching. You guessed it. Exactly the same. And that is in 4:17. Jesus, he had called his disciples, and he had talked to Satan as well in the temptation. But here, the first words in his preaching, from that time Jesus began to preach, is in Matthew 4:17. And to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All right, so we have it twice here. John the Baptist, and then we have Jesus. Now, the first words of Jesus to his disciples. I'm getting a little specific here. I'm narrowing down, but to his disciples as a group. I know he called this and he called that one and he said things, but in his teaching. Volunteers. And I know the first words are not necessarily doesn't necessarily mean they're the most important, but I like to think they're significant. Here it's in Matthew 5:3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so when you start talking about the spirit, of our spirit, my mom went to there because that's a core part of the message this evening. Okay. Let's read. not quite yet. In Luke 10, Jesus sent, and we're not turning there, he sent 70. Thinking about the kingdom of God. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In Luke 10, Jesus sent 70, 2 by 2, before his face into every place whither he himself would come. Now, I'm putting something together here, okay? I hope you're following. I hope you're following. Some people a lot of times tell me I didn't follow. And I'm so sorry about that. I'm so putting some together here. You know, let's repeat that. In Luke 10, Jesus sent the 70 of his disciples ahead of them, and he gave them a specific message. And that message was something like this, and it was more than that, but it's something like this. When you go there, tell them, I think maybe he said repent, I'm not sure, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, but he sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself wanted to go. That's what wood means there. I'm telling you that there's not a place and there's not a city where Jesus doesn't desire to go. And he's given us the opportunity and the calling to step into those places where he wants to go, ahead of him. And so whether you're boarding that airplane for Philly, or whether you're out in the field and your neighbor comes along and stands there and watches you go by and then visits with you, whatever it is, Jesus wants to come to that place, but he does not come to those places where he does not feel welcome. And he feels welcome where there's certain attitudes. He feels at home with certain kinds of attitudes. And if you look at Jesus' life, you see what kind of attitudes those are. He doesn't feel at home with other kinds of attitudes. And he won't like to be there. When there's other kinds of attitudes, he doesn't want to be there. And your job and my job is to take upon us those attitudes that he had and take them ahead of him. Now, we are actually, when we go, in a sense, he's going because we're his feet and we're his body. But we must remember these things. Now, let's read Matthew 4, beginning at 25 through 5:16. With these things in mind, as we think of our reason for existing, we are here, sisters, you're here, your mothers, and your youth, and just if we could just all grasp why we're here. But let's read this with that in mind. In verse chapter 4, verse 25, and I consider Matthew 5, 6, and 7 to be somewhat like the constitution of the kingdom. You know, most countries have a constitution, if not all of them. You know, they define the boundary, they define the vision, and at the core of that constitution is the Beatitudes. I believe that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are those doctrines that we just appreciate, and some of them are distinctive to us as Anabaptist people, non-resistance, divorce and remarriage, and some of these, they're right in there, you see. Loving our enemies. But I believe they spring from the heart of the Beatitudes. And I think that's where we need to go in our lives. Of course, we need to repent first. But we need to go there. All right, let's read these verses and then come back. And for lack of time, and I'm just going to tell you that tonight, I'm not going to be done by 8:30, and I wanted to be done by 8:30. So let's get with it. But if you want to leave any time you want, I guess, I don't know. But I'm just not going to be finished talking at 8:30, and I want to be finished talking at 8:30. But see, that clock is not behaving itself. So, but because of the time restrictions, I just picked out three of these Beatitudes to speak about tonight. And but we need to read these verses. Matthew 4:25, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem, from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, now I want you to catch something here. Seeing the multitudes, he didn't open his mouth. Seeing the multitudes, he went into the mountain, and his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth then. I believe that these words are specifically for residents of his kingdom. I believe that. Now, maybe others heard. I heard that there was this mountain, and then the acoustics are, like to see it sometime, where everybody down there, whole multitude could heard. I'm not saying that's not the case. But it says, he went into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. These are teachings for his disciples, you and me, if we are his disciples. And the first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I just think we'll go ahead and finish this message as we go down through. I was going to read it first. But let's just go back to Isaiah 66. I mentioned already that there are attitudes where Jesus, when he finds them, he is just not comfortable. And I believe I leave it up to him when he comes and when he goes. But I believe that we talked about that, those two that were on the, whether they were a couple or whatever they were last evening. We talked about these two that were going to Emmaus last evening, and I believe Jesus was happy with their attitude. He wanted to be with them. But here in Isaiah 66, 2, it says this, for all those things, let's read 61. The heaven, thus saith the Lord, the heaven, I'm sorry, 66 verse 1. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me?
And where is the place of my rest? And then he tells us where it is. He said, for all those things and my handmaid and all those things have been made, said the Lord, but to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Those are the attitudes. What is that talking about? Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is somewhat like a deed of ownership. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we just have that promise. Now, maybe we think poor in spirit's one thing and we're not that way, and I know that can be frustrating. We think we're poor in spirit. Maybe you could have some ideas. I would love to hear your comments, but I think that poor in spirit, one way to say it would be that I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to offer. And that's a tricky one, because we do. I mean, we say we have the world's solutions, but there's an attitude behind that. If I say that we have what the world needs, depending how that is said, depending how that is said, we don't. God help us. But why is this virtue first? It's because I believe that this is that which attracts not only God, it attracts God. Where the poor in spirit is, that's where he will be. But it also attracts the hungry and the destitute. It attracts needy people. God is not attracted to people that have it all together, and neither are the hungry and destitute. I want to be very careful here, because I might have written that story. I know I didn't, but what I meant is that I could have. But there was a story recently in a Christian Example. I don't usually read that, but I wrote an article in there in it, so I get it free. And I'm okay with Christian Example. But one of the recent ones that came, I was very burdened about it. It made me sad after I read it, and that was just so sad. I try to discern why, and I talk to my wife about why does this story make me so sad. I didn't like it. I did not like it. I want us to think about this. It was had a very good point, but the story was where. Shouldn't I tell this story? I just want you to be thinking. Maybe you'll recognize if you get a Christian Example. Whoever wrote that, bless their hearts. I just don't want to be critical, but I was saddened because it seemed to me that the individual that was seeking. Here was this individual that dwelt in a very fancy house, and probably high-heeled and fancy dress. But this Mennonite woman was keeping the little girl of this other woman, and I was saddened when it seemed that there was a needy soul there, hungry, that was not attracted to their spirit. She was attracted to what she saw. Couldn't you about weep about that? It seemed that way to me. I don't want to be critical about it. But could we just think of these things? Could we think of these things? You know, the response like, she says, oh, but I can't. And the response, why can't you? Could it be? Anyways, you think about these things. We need to move on. I said enough about that. You know, I'm going to read these last verses here before we go to Meek, and we just might skip a few of these, but let's skip on down these blesseds and come to verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are what? The light of the world. Oh, this is beautiful. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. Now, how do we let our light shine? Well, it's with these things. It's not that we, you know, I have nothing against passing out tracts and going down here to the wherever it is, New York City, and singing. Nothing against them. But when you go carry these virtues, please, Because that's the way you will let your light shine. You can't help it. You can't help it if you carry those virtues. And you know, we have a mosquito zapper. You boys know what a mosquito zapper is? It attracts mosquitoes by, I don't know if we have mosquitoes around here. We get a lot of mosquitoes in the summer back there. It attracts these, it's about this, ours about this, talking about this big round. It's got two lights inside here. But before it gets to the light, there's some electric wires, and it's not just for those mosquitoes. It's not just like those little chicken wires. I mean, they hit there and they go zzz, zzz. And when there's a lot of mosquitoes, it's just a lot of zapping. But what it does, it kills those poor mosquitoes. But mosquitoes and insects are attracted to the light. Oh, let's not be mosquito zappers who have that little light there, and at least an appearance of the light, but the people come too close and they get zapped. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. And I'd say just God would help us. Yeah, let's read 2 Timothy 2. Wait a minute. We go on. Let's first read the verse 4. Matthew 5, 4, again, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, and blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, meek. Let's just talk a little bit about meek. 2 Timothy 2. And again, I look back at my life and I think, oh, and I wonder how I look to God today, because I know how I looked to myself 20 years ago. I can't stand it. But here's a verse here that has convicted me so much. 2 Timothy 2:24, and a servant of the Lord must not strive. And strive there just means argue or fight and, you know, contention. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledge the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, which are taken by captive by him at his will. You know, in meekness instructing, and it struck me that we, this according to this verse, we don't have to oppose those people. They are opposing themselves. We are just called to instruct in meekness. And I realize that sometimes there's a fine line, but I will tell you this. One time, I remember myself and another brothers when I worked at Lamp and Light Publishers, and I had two JWs come in there. Several times I have had discussions that had a little bit of heat there with Jehovah's Witnesses. And afterwards, I knew I had won the battle, but I had lost a friend. And brothers and sisters, I know we got to stand firm on truth, but something didn't feel right in here afterwards. I would rather have one piece of instruction than just a thought that they would go home, and rather than digging into the scriptures to prove that Rodney Mast was wrong, they would go home and lie on their bed at night, and at 2 o'clock they couldn't sleep because the Holy Spirit was speaking to them. I would rather something like that that my relationship with you. And I know that these things, but I look back at some of those times and I just, I don't know who those people were, but I just feel sorry for them. Meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I don't know how all that's going to work out, but I sure hope that God, I believe that God will, I believe he has visited me to be among those. We have at home a dear old soul. He's about probably a little younger than what I am. And he comes around to the shop from time to time while he sold us a furnace. And so he would come and he would help. And sometimes he would come up with his bicycle sometimes. But this was a dear soul, and I don't know where he's going to come out. It doesn't look very good. But he would often come to the shop full of anger. And he was, and you would think he probably was brooding over this thing for hours already, and because one of the first things that come out of his mouth is something about global warming, or something about Trump, or something about inequality, or something like that. It's about as, you know, Alturas is a very conservative place in California, you know, compared to all the rest. But here's a very left-wing man, and he's very upset. He's very, very upset. And he comes and he starts talking about this, and he comes mad. But you know what? As we visit, folks, you know, as probably some of the most conservative-minded people in Alturas, how can we help that dear soul? He let it slip one time, at least once. Several times he let it slip. He said, you know, that he's insecure and he's not near as solid in his belief as what he acts like. In fact, one time he says, you know what, I'm saying these things because I'm searching. Whoa. And one time he told me, one reason I like to be with you so much is you don't get mad when you ought to be mad. You're not mad. Now, that was a compliment because I know I got, you know, I'm not always that calm, but that was a compliment. But there was other times he just wanted to talk about spiritual things. I've got a choice. We've got a choice when people come with us like that. Either we can try to convince them global warming is not the case, or we can divert the attention to spiritual things. And it may make a difference in the soul of that person. Will I argue that global warming is not the case, or will I suggest that, well, you know what, there's a spiritual global warming going on in this country. It's a lot, lot worse. Anyways, let's read on here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That would be him, I would like to think. What about the next one? We're going to focus just a little on mercy. I've got to, because I told that story. Children, this is what that story was for, is blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Yes. I want to tell about here in closing, maybe just two little stories. And then we'll be closing here. But there's another person that is very angry a lot of the time that comes to our shop. He's Doug Smith is his name. He's probably in his 70s. He's just a little, very bearded man. He claims he comes when he's angry, and it does appear that way, because he says it's the only place he can calm down. Only he was run off from the local stockyard there. I mean, not stockyard, the lumber yard where we buy most of our lumber. They ran him off. This is his. I think it's probably true, though, knowing him. Because one time he came in there and he was so upset. He was so angry at my son, he was shaking. And he said, my son said something and didn't keep his word, and I have no idea. I stood to this day, I don't know what it was, and my son didn't know it. And he says, no, it's not true. But he's been diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and he is in bad shape. But just the point is this. Do those needy souls, do they, I know there's a place to draw a line and say, you know, I don't know always where that is. We need to get our work done. But do they feel comfortable coming to the light? He confessed that that's one reason he comes around. I want to tell you, and by the way, I haven't seen him probably for 3 or 4 months. I mean, I read about a month or two in the paper. I read that he was down just about 3 miles from our place at the grocery store. It was the service station not that far from our place, and he was arrested because he got mad at somebody and started shooting in the air. So they arrested him, put him in county jail. I don't know whether he's out yet or not. But these are sad, sad situations. Now, I would like to end with a little story about my, from a circle letter that touched me very much in relation to the merciful, or the meek, or the poor in spirit. We had a family reunion several years back, and after that, my aunt wrote this in the circle letter. wrote about this. Aunt and uncle are in their 70s, and they were, and I'm not reading right now, but they were flying home, and from this reunion. And Jake might have read that, as this was in a circle letter, but from this family reunion. And their flight from Dallas was delayed for 3 hours from Dallas to their home. And so what do you do when you're delayed? You know, we all probably do different things, but they got in line for coffee. Well, I believe that God, I don't know whether he made that flight delay. That's not what I'm saying, but he used the situation and he put them in line for coffee. Because unknown to them, there was a young man watching them. Now here's an old couple in their 70s, okay? Listen, girls, young man. Because you're going to be 70 someday if the Lord stands, if the world stands, and if you don't die. But here's a bit, I'll quote here. After a bit, a man, maybe 30 years old, leaned over the rope and said, "Excuse me, could I ask you a question? Are you two married?" "Yes," she said. "For how long?" "Well, since 1968, so almost 40 years. Oh, that is so wonderful. You both look so happy. I've been watching you, and I can tell that you love each other very much." And so he went on to get his food. I'm still quoting here. And we continued eating and talking and then got up to leave. This man came up behind me and held out a $20 bill and said, "Here, take this, ma'am, and have a coffee on me. You have been such a blessing to me. My name is Don. Please say a prayer for me." And he turned and was gone. Now, I know you all have these experiences, but this one touched my heart because I know my aunt and my uncle. And I had to ask you young people here, just how did this man know that they loved each other? Do you think they were, you know, every now and then maybe she was smooching a little, giving a little kiss there? You think so? I know them too well. They weren't doing that. I know they weren't talking, I'm just pretty sure they weren't out there passing out tracts. And I have nothing against that. I don't even think they were laughing and smiling and talking about how good Jesus is. I don't think so. My uncle can't see a lot of the time. He can't walk a lot of the time. So she would have been pushing that wheelchair, see? And I can just picture her just getting down there and ask. And she can, her knees are bent, so she's walking like this and stooped. And I can just see her getting down there and saying, "What kind of coffee do you want?" You know, that kind of thing. But what that man saw was a virtue of the kingdom of heaven. I truly believe that he had missed out on. And that's why he said, "Say a prayer for me." And that touches my heart. And I just want to ask if that had been you and me, that he would have seen, would he seen a virtue of the kingdom of heaven? I believe we're going to go ahead and give an invitation verse, just a verse of a hymn tonight. Do you have one ready? 565. I know we covered a lot of ground. Maybe you have seen these virtues and would like them, never have repented. Maybe that's your situation. Or perhaps you're a member of the church and you just cooled off and would like some help in some of these virtues. What was that number again?
565.
We'll just sing one verse tonight. And if you would like help in any way, I can't help you, but I love to sit down with anyone that would like help and help you to find help. Now I'm sure your minister would say the same thing. Let's sing a verse. Raise your hand or stand to your feet if you would like help while we sing. Mm-hmm. Shall I come just as I am? Come with all my guilt and sin. If I open wide my heart, will he enter in? As you are, just as you are, come to Jesus, come today. He will kindly welcome you. Yes, if we are of a contrite spirit, broken in a contrite spirit, he will kindly welcome us and he will take away our sins. Do we have any other announcements? Welcome back, each one. Tomorrow evening, the Lord tarries, 7:30, and we will see what the Lord has for us tomorrow.